My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you for having us. We're glad to be with you this morning in the house of the Lord. And we honor Pastor Kinsey, Bishop Welch. We love them very, very much and appreciate this church and legacy. Excited about what God's going to do this morning. Several people will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this morning in this service. Why don't we just get a little bit louder than that and let hell hear us? Thank the Lord for that, what's about to happen. Why don't we thank the Lord in advance like Joshua did when those walls fell? Someone lift up your voice and begin to magnify the name that's above every other name. We love you, Jesus. We expect you to do something supernatural in this place. And we give honor to Bishop Kinsey. Love him very, very much. And all the ministers, my friends, Brother Daniel, Brother Stafford, great preachers, great men of God. I'm glad to have my beautiful wife and my babies here with me today. And the Lord has done a mighty work this week at Call to War. What a powerful atmosphere we enjoyed. Every session, the glory of God was in this place. If it's easy for you to worship the Lord this morning, it's because the atmosphere was set this week in this place. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4, verse number 16 through 18, and verses 37 to 39. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, 16 through 18, and 37 to 39. Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Someone say it filled all the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Somebody say they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all, someone say all, that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them your miracle is here today. Tell someone else your miracle is here today. You're not going to have to wait all of 2019 for God to visit you. Let it begin on the first Sunday of January. Would someone start to thank the Lord for a season shift right now in the atmosphere? Revival is about to break loose in this city in the name of the Lord Jesus. Would you clap your hands one more time? And would you thank the Lord? David said, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. 37 times between Matthew and John, we find a miracle that Jesus Christ performed. 37 recorded miracles, although several of those miracles included thousands of people being healed, multitudes coming to him, and all we know is that he would heal them all. We do not know how many people he actually healed, actually delivered, actually touched. We do know that John said that if we wrote down all the miracles that he did, all the books in the world, the works that he did, all the books in the world could not contain everything that he did. Just think about that for a moment. That's how active his ministry was. That's how powerful he was. And he was walking with them daily and consuming them with miracles. Every time something happened, they expected it to be Jesus on the scene. People that believed and did not believe, heard about a miracle, they knew it was Jesus Christ somewhere in the atmosphere doing something. And that same Jesus still does the miraculous today in 2019. He's still a healer of cancer. He can still heal diabetes. He can still deliver someone from drugs and alcohol. He can still save your lost loved one. He's still the King of Glory right now. If you do not believe he's a miracle worker, you've got the wrong preacher at the beginning of the year. I promise you, when I was in Sacramento a couple years ago and watched with my very own eyes a 17-year-old young man die in front of the entire congregation at the altar and for several minutes was dead, and then I watched as we prayed in the name of Jesus and God raised him from the dead, you've come too late to tell me that God cannot do the miraculous. He can do exceeding and abundantly. Is there anyone that knows he can do exceeding abundantly above all that you have ever asked or thought? If you love him and you know he's powerful, act like you love him right now. Act like he can do anything. If you know he's ever healed you, act like he's healed you. If you know he's delivered you, act like he's delivered you. If you know he set you free and made a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I remember in a service a few years ago down in Miami, there was a lady that was in the atmosphere there in the altar. We prayed for her. And I remember as we were praying for people on the line, they were being healed one at a time. My pain is gone. My pain is gone. We went to go pray for her and she started saying, my pain is gone. And so we went around her to the next person. And she said, wait a second. I still want you to pray for me. And we said, what's going on? She said, I'm not up here for my pain that was just healed, even though God just healed it. My son has been in a coma for 3 months in Miami-Dade Hospital. And the doctors have said he's not coming out of the coma. Can God heal that? And so, you know, when you watch God heal a headache, you think he can do a lot of things. But when someone brings a big need right there, it's all of a sudden you're trying to have faith. And so I just said, well, the Lord, and I went to say, the Lord, if it's his will, can do anything. And when I opened my mouth, this is what came out. I wasn't thinking this or planning to say this. It just came out. And I said to her, when you get to the hospital today, there'll be a sign. Your son's coming out of his coma. And she said, what? And I said, what? She started dancing around. I got depressed because I knew we had church Sunday night and mama's gonna be there. I mean, I was sick to my stomach. I called the pastor in the Sunday afternoon, said, I'm not feeling too good. He said, we'll pick you up anyway. True story. I'm not going to lie here. And so I'm 36 this month. I was probably 21, 22. And I remember driving to church. This is terrible. Driving to church at 4 o'clock. His church started at 6. And thinking, if I can just get in the pastor's office early, I'll pray. I'll pray for God to do something. And I'll just sneak into the pulpit. I'll preach. I'll pray for people. Then I'll leave. And I pulled in the parking lot. There was no one there. One car pulled in behind me. And I closed the door. Hey, preacher. I said, oh, that's the voice of that lady in there. How could she arrive at the exact same? Yes, ma'am. You told me there was going to be a sign that my son was coming out of the coma. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, there was no sign. I said, no, ma'am. She said, when I got there, he was sitting up in bed talking to my husband, completely free from it. We have a God that can do absolutely everything. That'll build your faith. And so the same week, I was in a service in West Palm area, and we went to a drug rehab clinic, and it was amazing. They told me we were going to a rehab clinic. I didn't know what it was for. I mean, I thought it was a drug rehab clinic. Excuse me. It was not a drug rehab clinic. It was a stroke rehab clinic. I thought the whole day it was going to be a drug rehab clinic, and we got there, and there's 12 people in wheelchairs, and just being honest, they weren't there mentally. They didn't know I was in the room. They had no idea what anything was going on, and so the people bring me in, and they say, preach. I mean, not one of them knew I was there. So I get up and preach. I mean, not an amen, not a clap, not a burp, nothing. Just, and so I went around the room, Bishop, and I prayed for everybody twice. In Jesus' name, nothing. Jesus' name, nothing. Two different times, I was walking around the walls of Jericho, just in Jesus' name, something's going to. Finally, I prayed for the last person the second time, and I was walking out the door. I said, well, I gave it my best. I was walking out the door, and a lady in a wheelchair by the door hadn't moved the entire. I didn't even know she knew I was there. She goes, hey, wait a second. I said, oh, you can talk. He said, someone bring him over here. And I go over there, and she said, I can't see. I'm blind. She's in the wheelchair. Jamaican lady. She says, someone roll up my sleeves. So we roll up her sleeves, and there's just slash marks all over her wrist. She said, I had diabetes and lupus attack me at the same time. And I said, I'm not going to die like that. And I kept trying to commit suicide until I could no longer move my arms. I can't move my legs. I'm paralyzed. I cannot see. Pray one more time for Jesus to heal me. And so I raised my hand, Bishop, to pray. And when I raised my hand for God to heal her, I heard it. Sure as I'm standing here, God said, stop. And when God says stop, you stop, or you're in trouble. And I turned and said, yes, sir. He said, pray for me to fill her with my spirit. I said, but she needs healing. He said, she needs a healing and a filling of my spirit. So I said, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. And about 10 seconds later, she began to speak in tongues. And about 30 seconds later, I saw her fingers start to move on that left hand. And then a few seconds later, her fingers on her right hand started moving. And she pushed herself out of the wheelchair, looked at me. Looked at me. Stood up on both feet and said, I can see you. You're a white boy. And she said, God has healed me of blindness and the paralysis. And she walked around. And wait a second. You think it's powerful then? When she walked around the front of those others in the wheelchair, as God is my witness, five other people who were paralyzed got out of the wheelchair and began to walk. We have a God that absolutely has all power and authority over everything. Somebody praise him. Somebody glorify him. He's too good. He's too big. The greatest miracle that night was not all the wheelchairs being emptied, six of them. The greatest miracle was not her blind eyes being opened. The greatest miracle was when God filled her with his spirit. The greatest miracle any human being can ever receive is when God fills them with the gift of the Holy Ghost, period. It's greater than healing. You can have cancer, diabetes, be blind and deaf and paralyzed, and God heal all that in one service and still go straight to hell. So that physical healing is a temporary touch. But if you get to heaven, It doesn't matter how sick you were on the earth. He said if you're filled with the Spirit, if you've been bought with, if you go down in the water and you come up and you're born of the Spirit, that's access to another world, sweetheart. Amen. The greatest miracle is not a financial blessing. It's receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, period. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit comes down inside of you and now lives in you. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You can try any drug you want to try. There's still no high like the Most High God of Israel. Can I get a witness of that in this building? You can drink anything you want to drink out there. It will not sustain you. It will not satisfy you. He said you'll thirst again, but he that drinketh, Hoshata, of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. The Holy Ghost is for everyone. Tell your neighbor you need the Holy Ghost. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him you really need the Holy Ghost. That was a wife talking to a husband right there. I've been waiting to say that for weeks, huh? The Holy Ghost is for everyone. It's for everyone. I have seen one, listen, no joke, one time in a service preaching between somewhere here in the North Pole, I thought I was being funny, and I said, the Holy Ghost is for everyone. I don't care if you're an axe murderer. The Holy Ghost is for you. Had no idea on the back row, freshly released after 53 years for killing someone with an axe. Don't play with me. God knows you're in here. You're not here accidentally this morning. You're here on purpose. He wants to give you the greatest miracle you'll ever experience. It's that real. I've seen murderers get, I've seen every type of criminal receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter what you believe. The Holy Ghost is for you. A few months ago in Modesto, California, a Satanist walked in the back door, and she was crazy and worshiping the devil, well known in the area. But by the time the service was over, she had raised her hands and was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We baptized her in the name of Jesus. She came in worshiping the devil, but she left worshiping the name that's above every other name. Somebody shout that name right now. It's for everyone. Muslims receive the Holy Ghost. Buddhists can receive the Holy Ghost. Hindus receive the Holy Ghost. Atheists can receive the Holy Ghost. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how terrible of a person you are or how great you are in your own mind. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. Well, how do I receive it? I'm glad you asked. First, let's prove that you need it. John chapter 3, verse number 5. Let's go there. John 3, verse 5. To show that you need the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, Paul said this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God, capital S, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you can accept him as your Savior. That does not mean he's accepted you. There has to be something that takes place on the inside of you. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It makes no sense to me that I could call myself a Christian, a Christ follower, and not want Christ living inside of me. After all, it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. I cannot even hope to be in glory if he's not living inside of me. Well, how do I get the Holy Ghost? Acts chapter 2. Let's go back to what we read earlier. Verse number 4. Let's start there. Acts 2 verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10 verse number 45 and verse number 46. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do they know? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts chapter 19, verse number 5 and verse number 6 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. What are you saying, preacher? The evidence that the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is on you and in you is it will come out of your mouth in another tongue. In other words, if you speak English, it will not come out in English. You will not understand what you're saying. It won't sound like what your neighbor is saying when they get the Holy Ghost. But be beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you receive it and it comes out of your mouth, you will know, this is not me. This is the Lord speaking through me. Well, if you think, well, I received the Holy Ghost and I didn't speak in tongues. Well, that's pretty hard to do. Because that is saying that I can keep His Holy Spirit that created the heavens and the earth on lockdown. That my human spirit is stronger than His Holy Spirit, and He pours it into me, but I'm bigger than Him, and I can keep it down. And the reason why that's not going to happen is because His Word said, when He talked about the Spirit, He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Spirit. So if I've truly received His Spirit, there needs to be some evidence that I've received it. It's not evidence to God. He knows when He fills me. It's evidence to me that I know He's filled me, because I can no longer keep it on the inside. If water was the Spirit and this bottle was me, if I were to take more water and fill this bottle to the brim, it would be just about full. But if I would keep pouring water from the source into the mouth of this bottle, water would come out of the mouth of the bottle. The bottle will not be able to contain the water that's being poured in it. The same thing happens when you get the Holy Ghost. When God pours it in you, you cannot keep it in your feet. Although it can get in your feet, you cannot keep it in your hands. Although it can get in your hands, you can't keep it in your mouth. Although it will come out of your mouth, it will consume you and come out of you. Oh, well, you know, He could have chose anything, Bishop. He could have said, well, when you get the Holy Ghost, your left hand will shake, and then your right hand will shake. I remember as a little kid in Kenai, Alaska, when my mom told me that this guy in church got the Holy Ghost, and I said, no, he didn't. His hands didn't shake, and everybody's hands shake when they get the Holy Ghost. She said, your hands don't have to shake when you get the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. He could have said, you'll fall down. Didn't. He chose the tongue. Oh, here we go. Let's have fun. He chose the tongue as the proof. My Bible says the tongue is a world of iniquity, full of deadly poison. No man can tame it, no matter how spiritual you are. Well, I've been in church 83,000 years. That's sweet. You're still in Pensacola, not heaven. But even you, if someone says the wrong words about the wrong subject, I have three claps on that, but I'm still right. That same tongue that just praised Jesus. Have you ever said something you regret? Oh, my Lord, we have like 95% not saying that right now. Tonight we're going to preach about lying in church. I remember driving to a rally at a at Rasheed Collins, a Holy Ghost rally. And I remember we were headed there and on the interstate, and we were going 75, just flying down, and it was wide open. And out of nowhere, I mean, and this car just comes flying on the right side of me, and she waves part of her hand at me. And I was like, what in the world? And a few minutes later, someone else comes flying about 100 miles, and they wave part of their hand at me. And I said, babe, am I doing something wrong? She said, no. I said, fine, kill him, God, right now. And then I got to the pulpit that night, and I said, the Lord wants to give everyone the Holy Ghost. And the Lord asked me right then, everyone? And I said, the Lord wants to give almost everyone the Holy Ghost. Because that tongue, no matter how holy we become, how faithful we are, how much we read our Bibles, and we should do all of that. The tongue is a world of iniquity. It's untamable by human flesh. That's why he said, I'll take the one thing that you cannot control and you cannot tame. And here's your proof that I'm inside of you. I am going to speak through the thing you cannot control to let you know I'm here. It's happening everywhere. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I've been traveling full time. Now, this has started my 17th year. Full time every week all over the world. Busy, busy, crazy, crazy, exhausting. And I know one thing. In the first 11 years, we saw about 3,000 to 4,000 people get the Holy Ghost. In the last 5 years exactly, we have seen over 10,000 people get the Holy Ghost just in this country. Something is happening. I'll tell you what's happening. In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour it out. It's about to rain in Pensacola this morning. It's about to rain Holy Ghost in this building this morning as a signal to this church. Revival is going to break out this year. Let there be a year of harvest that you've never had in the history of this sanctuary before. Someone ought to grab that right now. It's in here. I said it's in here right now. Almost done. How do I get the Holy Ghost? Well, I can't give it to you. Bishop Kinsey can't give it to you. These great preachers up here, they can't give it to you, but Jesus can and will give it to you. I can't take you through the door. I can take you to the door, though. I remember one time in Alaska, a couple years ago, we had a little kids' Holy Ghost rally, and all these kids were getting the Holy Ghost, and one little guy at the end, he wasn't getting it, and we were praying. I went over there and prayed with him. I said, can I pray for you? He said, no, thank you. He was like 7. I was like, all right, buddy. That's no, all right. So I walked away, and church ended, and I was walking out, and I felt this little grab my coat. It's that little dude. And I said, hey, what's wrong? He said, hey, you're the guy that asked me to pray. I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I just want to tell you, I got that Holy Ghost thing you were preaching about. I didn't need your help at all. Thanks. I love it, man. If a 7-year-old can say, I can get that, there's no excuse for anybody in this building that does not have it. Yes, you can receive the Holy Ghost today. Yes, you can. Hey, if God filled Kevin in Atlanta, Georgia, a homeless man on the street with the Holy Ghost in front of 200 people, and Kevin does not have a tongue. No tongue. Homeless, but in front of 200 people, began to try to worship the Lord, and all of a sudden, tongues began to roll out of a mouth that shut up, that did not have a tongue, because God said, in the last days, I will pour it out on all flesh, and all means all, baby. Just turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you have a tongue? You can get the Holy Ghost. Here's how you get the Holy Ghost. Real easy. Number one, you've got to repent of your sins. It's Bible. You got to repent. You cannot get the Holy Ghost without repenting. You won't get the Holy Ghost while repenting. You have to worship to get it. But for the first stage, you cannot get it without repenting first. So before we ever pray in the moment for everyone in the altar to get the Holy Ghost, we will repent of our sins. And we will pray for God to forgive us, whether we have the Holy Ghost or not. Because the second greatest thing to receiving the Holy Ghost is praying someone through to the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness of that in here? And so we want nothing to be in the way, whether it's I need the Holy Ghost or a miracle or I need to pray for someone. I want nothing to be in the way on my part. Number one, repentance is huge. I know some of us can repent for lying. I know some can repent for pride. I know some can repent for not being all the way unified. I know we can do that. If there's anything, you might have to check your spirit and go down the list, but you can find something to repent about. So there's nothing in the way of what God's about to do. Number one, we must repent. And before we ever pray the prayer of faith in a few moments, I'm going to ask everyone, not right now, but in a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to come down to the front so we're all unified together, and I'll give you instruction how we're going to roll here. But that's the first step. We must repent of our sins. God is not interested in being your roommate. He's not interested in coming into your body and taking up part of your heart and gets you on Sunday morning but doesn't have any access to you the rest of the week. He's not interested in a place of visitation. He wants a place of habitation. He wants to live in you. He wants to dwell in you. Greater is he that is in me, not he that visits me, he that is in me, than he that is in the world. Number two. You must desire the Holy Ghost. If you do not want the Holy Ghost, you will not get it. If everybody on your pew wants it and you do not, he'll jump right. He's such a gentleman. This is so bold and straight, but I'm going to say it anyway. He loves you enough to let you go to hell on your own. He will not force you to go to heaven, although he died for you and me to go to heaven. He will not force us to go. If you don't want it, he'll walk right by you. But I don't know how I could be in his presence and not want him in me. Because when he's in me, I get peace I didn't have before. I have joy I didn't have before. The Bible says I have power over the enemy. I shall receive power and the Holy Ghost comes up. That means depression can't defeat me anymore. Suicidal thoughts cannot destroy me when I have the King of Glory living inside of me. Repent, desire. Number three, we have to focus our mind on the Lord. How do you do that? One of the greatest ways to do that is to raise your head. And if you're physically able, to raise your head and raise your hands. Why? Because when you're really praying about him, you really don't think about you very much. But a lot of people that want the Holy Ghost, the thing that keeps them from receiving it, I can tell you from experience, is they are thinking about themselves too much when they pray. Because they'll pray things like, and I'm not making fun, I'm just telling you what I've been doing this a long time. I can tell you what people say. They'll start saying things like, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Please give it to me. I'm a bad person. Lord, please, please. And see, you're talking about you. This is not about how good or bad you are. This is about how great he is. So one of the greatest things you can do if you've been praying for the Holy Ghost for a while is to get the attention off of yourself and on to him. It's the receiving position, by the way, when you get your head up and your hands up. I'm ready to receive something from the Lord. Number four, you have to have faith that God will give you the Holy Ghost today. Not tonight, not next week, not next year. Well, if he wants to give it to me, he will. No. You know what faith is? I'll tell you what faith is. Faith is, I'm not leaving without it. I'm going to the altar. God's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. January, 6th, 2019, the greatest day of my life. God's going to fill me with the gift of his. If he comes back tonight, I'm going to know his spirit is inside of me. Washed in his name, in Jesus' name, baptism. That's what you need. And here's the big key to getting the Holy Ghost. Everybody pay attention to this one. After we repent and we want the Holy Ghost, our desire is to receive it, and our mind is on God and how great he is, and we have faith that God's going to either give it to us or use us to pray for someone to get the Holy Ghost. Here's the key. Ready? It's going to be so profound. You actually have to worship God with your own mouth to get the Holy Ghost. You cannot speak in tongues if you refuse to speak. You cannot get the Holy Ghost if you refuse to worship Him. It doesn't matter how hard Bishop's praying for you, and he has power, trust me, I know. But if I refuse, if he's praying for me to get a miracle, and he says, worship the Lord, and I sit there like this, I'm not going to receive it. Because I am not worshiping the Lord out of my mouth. So he can worship for me. But when it comes to me receiving the Holy Ghost, it's got to come out of my mouth, not his. So I have got to worship God with my own mouth. Well, what do I say? I don't know what to say. Let me tell you how you start praising him and getting his attention. The number one word you can start to say when you start worshiping Jesus is hallelujah. Because when you start to shout hallelujah, you're telling him, Lord, I give you everything. Everything is yours. And the word said he dwells in the praises of Israel. And so when you start to praise him, when you start to magnify him, when you start to tell him, I love you, hallelujah, you're so amazing, I worship you, I love you, hallelujah, you are giving him the best praise you can give. Stand to your feet right now. And guess what? A few of you, I don't know how it's going to roll, but I know some of you, as soon as you start to shout hallelujah, because in a moment after we repent, we'll all pray a prayer of faith, which basically is me taking all of my faith and dumping it out with your faith. And so when you start to shout hallelujah, I want you to get this. Some of you, as soon as hallelujah comes out of your mouth, you'll try to say other words in English if that's your native language, and those words won't even make sense. It'll just start rolling out like a river. And when hallelujah has come out and other words start to come, don't keep them down. Release them out of your mouth. Release them out of your mouth. Some of you might pray a few moments and I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. Whatever. You're just giving him glory. And guess what? All of a sudden, those words will start to come in your spirit. And when they start to form in you and start to build in you, hallelujah has served its purpose. I love you, Jesus, has served its purpose. I worship you, Lord, has served its purpose. Let those words come out of you that only God can speak through you. That's how you get the Holy Ghost. That's how you get power over the enemy. I'm not leaving without a miracle from God. I'll give instruction on how we're going to know people are going to get the Holy Ghost in a moment. But before we do, I want you to help me right now. Would you turn to all four neighbors around you and would you ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? Would you do that right now? Would you turn to all four neighbors? Have you received the Holy Ghost yet? And would you answer the question with a yes or a no? If they said no, tell them today's the day. I think I heard someone in the choir say today's the day. Who needs the Holy Ghost up here? If they said yes and you think they're lying. Today's the day. Real quick, I remember I taught a Bible study to a guy at Verizon for like 6 weeks. And he kept telling me he never had been baptized. And I was preaching a baptism message. And I said, he finally came to church. And he was sitting by my wife over there. And I said, ask your neighbor if you've been baptized, you know, in Jesus' name. I watched him tell my wife, yes, I have. And I was like, in the mic, Kevin, you are lying. Kevin came up and got baptized. Hey, nothing's more important, sweetheart. Nothing's more important. When he comes back or should he call you home today, nothing is more important than knowing you've been in the water and your sins have been washed away and he's filled you with his spirit. Nothing. Not how nice your car is, how many followers you have on social media. Nothing else matters, period. Here's what we're going to do. From the front row to the back of the balcony, here's what we're going to do. Together as a body, in a moment, we're going to come down to the front. Because obviously some will have to get in the aisles. If you stay in your pew, I guess that's my sign to come pray for you myself. But if you're physically able, we're going to come down to the front. And when we come down to the front, Pastor Trouble is going to lead us a prayer of repentance, and we're going to repent. And after we repent of our sins, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And when I'm done praying that prayer of faith, God's going to fill people with the Holy Ghost all over this altar, in the aisles. God's going to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. Well, someone ought to thank the Lord for that right now. Kids are going to get the Holy Ghost. Visitors are going to get the Holy Ghost. People that have been coming to church for a while and have not received the Holy Ghost, they're going to get the Holy Ghost today. God's going to pour out His Spirit because it's a promise from His Word. And He said earlier, we are to declare the Word of God. And when He said that, I said, I declare the Word of God to be true. That you said, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And we are in the last days, and the Word has been declared. I'll repeat this in a moment when you're up here and after we repent. But I want to show you how we can communicate with each other when someone gets the Holy Ghost that you're praying with. Because there's so many people in here. When someone gets the Holy Ghost that you're praying with, and you can communicate with me, and I'll go on about that in a moment. But right now, would you look at your neighbor and tell them, let's go down to the front. We're about to see a Holy Ghost outpouring. Would you come down to the front right now with your neighbor? Bring your friends. Come down to the front, whether you're in the top of the balcony or you're in the front row. Would you just step out? Come as close as you can. You're going to just come as close as you can. You might have to back up to the stairs because we're going to have a lot of people up coming up. I'm going to ask the preachers to stay up here with me. We're going to stretch our hands over the audience in a moment. Everybody come as close as you possibly can. If you're physically able. If you're not able, but you want the Holy Ghost, you can raise your hand and get someone's attention, because we'll pray for you and God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to wait a little bit because we got several people coming. If you're in the balcony, please make your way. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, or if you do, we're asking for unity this morning, because the Bible said they were in one mind and one accord when the Holy Ghost fell. I can tell you from experience in America, the reason why it takes longer for people to get the Holy Ghost is because we have a lot of watchers. We have a lot of watchers. But every time I'm in a service where there's unity and everyone's worshiping and everyone's focused, the Holy Ghost falls faster. Why? Because that's how it works in the Bible. When there's one mind and one accord, you get the suddenly stuff. I want the suddenly stuff from God, where He pours out His Spirit in the atmosphere. I want the suddenly God to interrupt here. But for that to happen, we've got to have unity. Amen. All right, if people are still coming, I'm going to wait. People are still coming. Praise the Lord. Before we pray for the Holy Ghost, some kids are coming down. Beautiful. Come on down. Wonderful. Before we pray for the Holy Ghost, we must repent of our sins. Brother Strobel, would you come lead us in a prayer of repentance? Follow His instructions, please.
Let's just call out right now unto the Lord. Between you and God right now, and as a body, we call unto you, Jesus. Every way that is not pleasing, every thought that's not right, every action, Lord Jesus, right now as a body, we call upon your name in repentance. In the name of Jesus, we turn from every way that's not right, Lord. Every way, Lord Jesus, that's not right according to your word. We turn back unto you, Lord God, our hearts. We repent, Lord Jesus, of all sin. There's nothing more important than you and your word and doing what is right. We turn back unto you right now, Lord. We turn our hearts to you, Lord. We focus, Lord God, upon doing what is right and what is according to your word. Let nothing be in our hearts, oh God. Let nothing be in the hidden areas of our hearts and of our minds, but completely, 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 Lord Jesus, we turn it over to you right now, Lord. We acknowledge it unto you, Lord. Every evil way, every transgression, we call unto you in repentance right now. We call unto your name, Lord Jesus, and we turn, Lord Jesus, unto you. We turn our hearts unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's it, church, with all your heart. Let nothing remain in the hidden part of your heart. Let nothing remain in the hidden areas of your life. Put it on the altar right now. There's nothing more important. Don't miss your miracle today. Don't miss Jesus be in us that's not pleasing to you. Let nothing, Lord God, remain. Let nothing remain, Lord Jesus, in our hearts that's unpleasing, Lord. That's unrighteous. That's not holy. We turn unto you, O God. We turn holy unto you right now in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.